This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Yankees lose a tough one. The Mets offense, not so good. Again, bad news for Sean Manaea. So we're looking for better things the rest of this week with the Mets and Yankees. Of course, you've got the NFL stuff going on as well. If you want to join in, talk about that, 888-808-1019. And go back on the free Odyssey app anytime you want to listen to our open this morning. You can use the chapters feature or use the rewind feature.
You know, there are probably about, we were just talking about Sauce Gardner and his contract, to be serious for a minute. There are a number of things that the players can do and get from the NFL owners if they play this right. The NFL is going to want to go to an 18-game season. They're going to want to cut down the preseason games to two games. They're going to have all these international games. I still believe that they're going to try for an international division. I really do. I think that's going to happen, but obviously in the future, not tomorrow. But one thing that the NFL players can do, and you know, they got to protect themselves from an 18-game season. And the way you do that is you shorten these contract control situations like Sauce and, you know, Garrett Wilson find themselves in now if you are a first-round pick. If you're a first-round pick, they have you for 4 years, and then they pick up your fifth-year option. That fifth-year option is depending on the position you're playing and the amount of money that's going to be there in that fifth-year option. It's usually a pretty good pay raise if they do that. So, like the Giants, are they going to do that for Kavon Thibodeau?
I wouldn't. No, I don't think that they will.
Sure, yeah. You're not going to do that.
No way.
Because the money is going to be ridiculous. And he hasn't shown that he's earned that kind of money. Maybe this year he comes back and he's a demon and he's basically incentivized because they didn't pick up his fifth-year option and he can become a free agent. But the other thing they got to get rid of are these tags. Forget the tags, forget the fifth-year option, you know, and got it. You have to get the free agency faster. And I think that what they should also do is somehow tell the quarterbacks, you know, you get 22 to 25% of, you know, the salary cap if, in fact, you become one of the top five quarterbacks or 10 quarterbacks in the league. There's got to be a way that you can stay away from all the jockeying and all the funny business around these contracts and make them a little bit more straightforward.
Yeah, I mean, and generally the NFL and the Players Association, they don't have as many work stoppages and issues as you've seen in recent memory.
Dude, I lived through one of them.
Well, but
reason,
in recent
the
memory.
The reason for that is because we weren't making that much money.
Yeah.
We were making compared to what they're doing today, they make in one single game what I made in an entire year. And in some cases, maybe 3 years of my contract in one single season, which is great for the players. I'm not arguing that, but I'm just telling the players that what the Players Association should be looking at is not less practice time, not, walkthroughs as opposed to hitting in practice. You know, the coaches will adjust to all of that responsibly anyway. What they need is the way to get out of these contracts faster when they're at the top of their game.
Yeah, I mean, and good luck with that. And what the NFL has done in the past.
Yeah, but if they won 18 games.
Well, that's the thing. But here's what happens is this is what they do is they'll say, all right, we want to go to 18 games. And then the player's like, I don't want to go to 18 games. I don't want to do that. And then they'll say, you know, we want them to, we need to get rid of the franchise tag. They're like, NFL goes, we're not getting rid of the franchise tag. But how about this? We'll keep the franchise tag. We'll take away the 18 games. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, okay, that's great. We don't have the 18 games. And they realize they got screwed again with the franchise tag. I mean, This happens every single negotiation. The franchise tag's a big deal. The 50-year option thing is a big deal, especially in the sport.
Because the owners are, you know, claiming cost certainty and you know, we're putting all this money into this player, and now he can leave when he wants. Well, you know, I mean, I'm sorry. At the end of, you know, for the players, at the end of the season, they are exhausted and they are beat the crap. And if you got to go into the playoffs like you're the Kansas City Chiefs, you're the Philadelphia Eagles, you're the San Francisco 49ers, I know they didn't make it this year. You know, you're the Baltimore Ravens. Every year you're playing extra games, which is great, which is really what you want. But at the end of the day, for the player, man, they have to have some financial incentive to say, okay, we're going to an 18-game season. Now, the salary should raise and the salary cap should raise, but you should be getting more back from the ownership. Because, you know, what else is raising is the worth of these NFL teams.
Yeah.
And that's what they should be negotiating against, not the TV contracts, but that would be my argument and always has been my argument since I was an NFL PA rep back in 1987.
A lot of people who are following the labor strife between the MLBPA and Major League Baseball believe that there's a really good chance of a lockout coming up. When this deal expires, unfortunately, which is you know just what baseball needs is a little bit of a lockout to add to the top of their problems. All right, let's go to Damian in St. James. What's going on, Damian?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'll be quick. I figured a new nickname out for Boomer. So long, Boompah. It's now Snuffleupagus.
Snuffleupagus. I mean, you know what? Actually, Damian, and that's funny. We're talking about Boomer being a schluffer. You know, we talked at the break. I misinterpreted the schluffness, so I have to apologize. It was my interpretation of what was going on that was wrong, so Boomer was not schluffing a particular thing off on me, so we worked that out. So I take back my comments of him being a schluffalupagus and putting too many things on my plate, so we worked that out off the air.
I mean, so. You know, when you're a partner for as long as we've been, just like I was with Craig, you know, there's certain things he would take care of. Thankfully, I didn't know about all those things. And there's certain things that I would take care of. And my things would get done and his things wouldn't. But I will say the difference between you and him, so far so good, you've gotten everything done.
Knocking on wood.
There's some things that didn't get worked out, but
yep,
it's all worked out in the end.
Yeah, certainly. Let's go to Dan and Carteret. Okay, how's it going, Dan?
Gio, when did this condition that you clearly have begin? In high school, college, your professional career?
Entertaining and funny and good looking? Is that the condition you're talking about?
No, certainly not. This condition of lying.
You sent me this thing.
I mean,
right
listen,
here.
Listen.
Oh, you want me to
explain.
Read this? You want me to read this
can
back
to you? Can I explain? No, can I explain? Let me talk. Thursday when I called in last week on opening day, before you put me on the air, right before you put me on the air, you're telling the audience I'm still a regular listener of the show, but I'm not a regular caller. Then the next day, Friday, Anthony in Belleville calls in, and you're saying that he's jealous that I called in the day before because him and I have a competition of who's the biggest fan for the show.
Yeah.
That's completely untrue. That's another lie.
Well, that's what Anthony believes.
Then today you're telling the audience that I'm really mad at you because I made a sarcastic post on X and tagged you in it.
Yeah, you cannot detect sarcasm on X, and you're calling up. You called the person who wrote the article a mutant. You did a thumbs down emoji. How am I supposed to detect sarcasm in there, Dan?
Because you know me well enough, I'm not rude and disrespectful like a couple of your colleagues are. Okay, I'm just humorous and sarcastic. Al Hughes, Boomer Esiason, rude, wow. Disrespectful, jeez. Ungrateful,
wow.
Unappreciative.
Holy hell.
You know.
You know what?
So,
what would you like to say to Boomer about him saying that your life and you know you and the relationship with the show here is just so dramatic? Like it's just so
not
much
dramatic.
Drama.
It's not dramatic. Boomer was very ungrateful and disrespectful. I did something generous and tried to show appreciation. Who's the king out of all of you guys that preaches about doing the right thing, showing respect, taking care of people, you know? And I did something genuine, generous to show appreciation, and he treated it like it was garbage and gave it away. Al trashed me on the air. If somebody did that to you guys, you would use your platform to kill that person. I don't have that platform. You show showed a major level of disrespect, and that's it. Just own it. Own it.
So
that's what he's both.
Who are you asking to own it, Boomer?
Boomer and Al should just own it. Their level of disrespect was over the top. Trashing me on three programs, giving away my gifts like I was some jerk off. You guys get gifts from listeners all the time. You accept them. You're appreciative. My gifts got given away by Boomer like they were trash and garbage. Gave away a $200 bottle of scotch and nice Ranger stuff. Al trashed me on three programs. Somebody did that to anyone he used?
What's three programs? What's three programs?
Trashed me on the warm-up show, trashed me on the morning show, trashed me on the post-game podcast, lied and trashed me.
You don't listen. You're not a big listener. You're not a big fan, but that's okay. I mean, like, did you get enough off your chest now? You feel better?
Yeah, I know. I'm so dramatic. I'm so soft.
You are.
It sounds dramatic to me.
I don't know. It's just me. If somebody trashed you, you
would have killed them, Boomer.
Does it sound dramatic?
You would have killed them on the air.
You know, I feel bad that his feelings are hurt, but yes, there's been a lot of drama around us. But drama doesn't mean a bad thing necessarily. You know,
Dan, just hang on for a second. We let it get it off all your chest. You got it off your chest. We let you go on for a minute, so just shut up for 2 seconds. Al, dramatic.
Sounds dramatic. Yeah,
Eddie, you're
yeah, that was so dramatic.
Dramatic?
Eh. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you're not a dramatic person, Eddie. So
correct.
I guess.
Yeah, I'm not a good judge.
You're not a good judge of it, but I think a little bit overly dramatic. That's all.
Okay. Well, that you're entitled to your opinion. I'm entitled to mine. I'm only responding to what you guys said.
So we do have we have great listeners out there, Dan, like you. I'm going to have Al do a poll. Is Dan from Carteret dramatic when he calls into Geo? And we'll see what we'll see what the listeners say out there. Okay.
Right. Going with the views of the listeners is really
You're one of those listeners, and we're going with your views. Like, you know, talking about the Giants not ever drafting a black quarterback, like trying to intimate something that you know.
Well, that was Dan. I thought that was just a regular caller.
Was that Dan who said that? Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry we didn't tag his name. But we have to do that now. So make sure we tag Dan's name and everything that we do.
Another level of disrespect. Our caller.
Right. Hey, I didn't write that. I don't think any of us wrote that. I think AI.
I know you didn't. Yeah, AI. Let's blame it on AI.
I think AI writes that stuff now.
Yeah, AI. What is your thoughts on these clowns that are so involved in sports, guys like KFC from Barstool and Portnoy, with their ridiculous takes about the torpedo bats? Don't they get enough clicks and views with their platform? Are they really starving for that much like controversy with views and clicks to put out these stupid videos bashing the Yankees? I mean, are they that desperate with how successful they are?
Hey, Dan, settle down, will you? Will you just settle down?
Very overly sensitive.
Yeah, just settle down.
You know, KFC is hilarious, and Portnoy sees an opportunity, he's going to go for it.
Yeah.
And that's just, you got to understand, that's what they recognize. And, you know, Portnoy, obviously, a Red Sox fan and KFC a Met fan.
Yeah.
So, listen, they're...
Rattling the cage.
Yankees are always going to be in their sights.
Exactly. And you should have the, in my opinion, I mean, you have whatever thoughts you want, but my opinion, you should take the Chris McMonagle point of view where he loved it because he gets the biggest kick out of the world, the baseball world, hating on the Yankees again. And now, like, oh, the big bad Yankees. Like, he just sits back and laughs. That's right. You care so much about us that you got to go crazy about this. If this were the Brewers or the Pirates or somebody else, the Rays, you wouldn't be caring about this. It's just the Yankees.
You know what I think? I think everybody should band together and hate the Dodgers.
Yeah. Well,
I mean,
think
they're
it's
the ones
that point,
are just
yeah.
completely blowing this whole thing out of the water.
Yeah. It's definitely getting to that
and
point.
And their consortium.
And yes, that's worth how much?
Probably about $100 billion.
Yeah, that's a big consortium that's funding that whole operation there. And it worked last year. We'll see if it works this year. You know, and Dan's another one of those guys too, where you know he sends this out, doesn't tell me that there's sarcasm attached. He's been butthurt about things in the past recently, and it sounds like the same thing. And then he's telling me it's sarcasm. And then, by the way, in that discussion that I had, I came out and said, I like Dan. I know other people here, maybe not so much. I said, I like Dan. So he comes after me. I'm the guy who said I liked him. And I didn't even say I was mad at him for it. I just thought he was mad at us because he gets mad at everything. And I'm supposed to detect sarcasm there on X.
Yeah.
What am I here, huh? You know, you send me this stuff, thumbs down, use the word mutants. I'm thinking you're actually angry.
Yeah, well, it's hard sometimes, the written word, it's hard to understand unless you really truly. We don't know Dan. I don't know Dan like you guys do.
I don't know him that well.
So when I see a written thing from him, I got to take it as literal. I can't take it as anything other than that unless he puts like hashtag sarcasm in there.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Jim in Elmira. What's going on, Jim?
Good morning, guys. Very dramatic, Dan. Very dramatic.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, question, Boomer. Sam Rosen's retiring, as we know.
Yep.
Wouldn't it be great to have Sam and Clyde do a Knicks game together, maybe the end of the year or something?
Well, you know, they are bringing Sam Rosen and John Davidson together on TNT. You know that, right?
I did not know that. But
yeah, they're going to do like, I want to say it's a Flyer-Ranger game, I think, on TNT.
Oh, it's great. It's perfect.
Yeah, so they're bringing in Sam Rosen to do that with John, and I think that's great, and I think it's great that Joe Micheletti is, you know, cool with that. Of course he's going to be cool with that. Yeah. Why wouldn't you be, right?
Of course, especially when you're a guy like Joe.
One last broadcast for Sam and Big John Davidson.
Yeah. Well, Clyde was reminiscing about one of the biggest events at the Garden he attended was the Ali Frazier fight, and the Knicks gave him tickets for that. And I've been listening to Clyde quite a bit lately, and you wonder how much longer Clyde's going to be doing the Knicks games.
Yeah, he's 80 years old now, but he still looks and sounds great.
Just let him do the home games. You know, let Wally Cash go take the road games.
Yeah, I mean, the broadcast definitely takes a dip as far as entertainment when Wally does it as opposed to Clyde, and we know that. But yeah, I mean, he's younger, at least.
Yes.
Got that going for him.
Doesn't really have the flair that Clyde has.
Yes. You know, he's not a needle
mover. Boring.
Not a needle mover like Clyde is.
Yeah, Clyde was a needle mover for sure. And greatest stick of all time.
I mean, as far as, like, if there was a long history of Sam Rosen and Clyde Frazier calling Knicks games.
Yeah, but that's why they're bringing back John Davidson to a game.
Then I would say, okay, but, you know, that's not like, you know, when Pat Sajak hosted Jeopardy and Alex Trebek hosted Wheel of Fortune one time, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it doesn't make sense.
It's two different things.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Steven in Staten Island. What's going on, Steven?
I don't feel appreciated.
That's all right, Steven. Hang in there. Just hang in there. We're here for you. That's okay.
Thanks. I sent you a gift. And you didn't do that. I sent you a gift to my restaurant, gift card. You didn't use it.
Oh, sorry, Steven. We're going to use it this weekend. It's raining this weekend. We're going to use that gift card this weekend.
All right. So I just, not that I have anything against Staten Island, because I don't, because, you know, we finished the bike tour in Staten Island, and I love that little ride, and we stop at the pizza joint right there. It's awesome. But when it's raining and you live on Long Island or you live on Staten Island reverse, you're not going to either one.
Yeah.
Because you can't get there.
Mm-hmm.
Because that damn Belt Parkway.
Yeah, you need like some sort of police escort in that situation.
It's just no way.
Yeah.
The moment it rains,
mm-hmm.
it's like you are done.
No, I know.
You got the JFK traffic. You got all that Brooklyn traffic. You got to go over the freaking Verrazano Bridge.
Yeah, you're making me ill right now thinking about it. You really are. I mean, especially when you drive, like any time it rains, there's multiple accidents.
And that Staten Island Expressway is a killer. You know, we don't spend a lot of time on it, so we don't talk about it that much. But that thing's a killer. Yeah, I mean, you know all about that. That is awful.
Yeah, it's one of the Staten Island Expressway Gowanus BQE combo.
Damn. Gowanus.
Gowanus.
All right. F, marry, kill.
Okay.
Gowanus. Moshalu.
Belt?
No.
No.
Hutch.
Oh. Merit.
All right, so you want Merit in there instead? F, marry, kill.
This triangle of death that Eddie just listed is pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
All right, so let's do that one then. What's the triangle there?
It's the Staten Island Expressway.
Staten Island Expressway, Gowanus, and then the BQE.
Which is the Verrazano into the Gowanus.
All right, so F, marry, kill those three.
Shoot them all.
Well, they're really just, they're one long
chain. Yeah, it's one long chain of different names.
Of
just pain. Just like everything is around here.
Yeah, I'd probably marry the Gowanus. It sounds like something. You're like, this is my wife, Gowanus.
Gowanus.
It sounds like a Disney Gowanus. Character. You know?
Yeah, it does.
Gowanus.
Gowanus.
But the one road you mentioned, I never even heard of, so that must be the best road. I don't
The Moshalu?
Yeah.
You've never heard of the Moshalu? You've been up to the Heber home.
But I've never heard the name.
Karen Stewart says Moshalu at least 50 times a week. She loves the Moshalu.
Loves her some Moshalu and GWB, because there's always an accident or construction on the GWB.
Yep.
And then, maybe that mayor over there is slowing down traffic for some reason.
What's that other one that she always talks about, the Jersey? And it's not Pulaski Skyway. She always brings it up, the Tunnelly. It's Tunnelly Avenue.
Oh, yeah, coming into the Holland Tunnel down there. That is a quagmire. The
Tunnelly Circle.
Yes, that thing is a quagmire. Yeah. That, by far, I nominate that as the worst. Because the lights are ridiculous there.
Mm.
Yeah, if you get stuck underneath the Pulaski Skyway for whatever reason, if it's closed, and you have to go.
I figure the guy that had to be on acid that basically created that.
All right, so we have a Karen Stewart traffic report coming up, right, Eddie?
Yes, we do.
All right, so what do you think? Does she get Moshe Lou into this one?
I don't think she gets Moshe Lou into this one.
Tunnelly Avenue?
Reasonably nice day out this morning, right? I mean, it's clear. It's cold, but it's clear.
Yeah, and she actually earlier praised the Gowanus BQE for not being a disaster for once.
Okay. All right, I'm just going to go with what I know, and I'm going
to GWB. Definitely GWB.
No, I'm gonna go with. She's gonna mention Moshe Lou. She's gonna jam it in there. This update. She loves
the Moshe Lou update. I still say the George Washington Bridge because there's always something going on over there.
Well, she's definitely gonna mention that. I mean, it's the George
What's
Washington
the bridges and tunnels.
You have to. I mean, I'm going out on a limb here. Like I'm going +500 with the Moshe Lou. You got to go out on a limb.
All right. I say she mentions the Bell Parkway.
Okay. Eddie, you want to take a guess?
I'm going to say there's some late disaster on the Gowanus.
he loves him some Gowanus, man.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry is here. Update moment of the day. What's up, Jerry?
Good morning. Brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. I will give you just one play-by-play clip this hour, and that's because it's the Grand Slam last night and the Yankee loss, and then we'll move on to other stuff.
Leiter peers in. He comes set at the belt from the first base side of the rubber. The 2-2 with two out. Bases loaded to Suarez. The pitch swung on high. Fly ball. Left field. Bellinger going back at the track. Leaps, and it is gone. Hey, Eugenio Suarez with a grand slam here in the eighth inning. It's 7-4 Arizona.
And that was Dave Sims with the call right here on the Fan. 7-5 would be the final. Yankees lose for the first time this season after their season opening sweep over the Brewers, who, by the way, won. They actually had a shutout after being -34 for the first four games of the season. Anyhow. 7-5 was the final. Here was Leiter. He served up that grand slam.
That was a good swing. That's my split, and that's what I'm going to go to. And he put a real good swing on it. Unfortunately, it got out.
And the loss, home runs for Volpe, Dominguez, and Rice. You've got Carlos Rodon and Zach Gallen going tonight on the Fan at 6:25. As for the Mets, they lost to the Marlins 4-2. Kyle Stowers, a two-run homer in the first. Graham Pauly, a two-run double in the fourth. The Pauly double came same inning where Francisco Lindor made his second error of the night. And here was Lindor. This was after the game talking about having a very unusual night for him, and he knows that that error led to the two runs in which the Marlins wound up winning 4-2.
I wish I would have done better for Senga. And Senga had a great game. You know, it's unfortunate that I didn't finish the play for him. He executed today all night long. Definitely should be better.
Yeah, well, he was good, but did take the loss. The two unearned runs, four runs on the night, though, over the five innings. And Lindor did at least get off the schneid with his first base hit, driving a run in the loss for the Mets. Sandy Alcantara, five innings for the win. You got a day game today, 4:40. These two teams will play later on with Clay Holmes making the start.
I'm going to bet Lindor to hit a home run today.
Well, I like that. I could see that, a little bounce back.
Yeah, see if I get some good odds on that.
Sean Manaea retweaked the oblique injury. He was shut down for two more weeks. And also from baseball, the Dodgers remain unbeaten. They're now 7-0 while sending the Braves to 0-6 as LA beat Atlanta by the score of 3-1. All right, we move on to some other things here, and specifically in the NFL. As I look for the clips, here we go. This was Roger Goodell talking about, we talked about this earlier, the tush push. They tabled the conversation But that doesn't mean that it's over, because it looks like they'll pick it up again in May.
There are safety issues that are being considered in that case. We have very little data from it, but it's beyond data. There's also, you know, there's the mechanism of injury that we study, that type of thing, that leads us to show the risk involved with a particular play.
I suppose, but that's kind of where we're at. It looked like they had 16 people that wanted to vote it out. They will pick it back up again at the league meetings in, what is it, May, I guess. It'll be next month. I mean,
anybody voting against it doesn't care about the safety of the players. They care because they can't stop it. That's what it is. I mean, because if you cared about the safety of the players, the people would be voting all sorts of stuff out of the game.
I think the only one I've heard talking about the safety of it, ironically enough, is Jason Kelsey, who says he despised it because he was worried he was going to lose
his
hand.
Because he's right in the middle of it.
Yeah,
exactly. he would get hit in the back of the neck or the spine when he was bending, down to try to get lower than a defensive lineman. The defensive lineman hated, obviously, because they get all this, weight coming at them, and they're trying to bend their head down there until somebody breaks their neck, then maybe they'll change it. I just think it was a brilliant brainchild of the Philadelphia Eagles. They did it right. They have the right size quarterback, because even the Buffalo Bills don't run it the same way.
Yeah, they're not nearly as well.
Right, and they're not nearly as successful. I think that's because Josh Allen's bigger.
Yeah, it's easier. There's more a surface area to cover.
Well, you don't think that it would be that big of a deal, but it really is. I mean, what, Jalen Hurts is about 6'1", and Josh is 6'5", so, that's a big difference.
We talked a lot this morning about other quarterbacks and other big players around the league, meaning Aaron Rodgers likely going to Pittsburgh. We heard from Art Rooney II earlier. We heard from Jerry Jones and Micah Parsons saying they've agreed on a lot of things in terms of a contract, but not a contract yet. We also heard from Raheem Morris. So what is the story? We talked yesterday about Kirk Cousins. Yep. Maybe he goes to Cleveland. Who knows? Well, right now, he is still a member of the Atlanta Falcons. Raheem Morris did talk about the Cousins situation.
Going into at any point that we've talked about it thus far, we still feel very strongly about Kirk being our backup quarterback. We still feel very strongly about the human. We still feel very strongly about where he stands right now. Obviously, we know this is a business. There are going to be some business aspects to everything that you do.
But right now, he is a Falcon.
He'll be traded. He's not going to be there. He does not want to be there. They want Michael Penix to feel free and just play and be the starting quarterback. They're going to end up having to trade him. And they will, right, probably either on draft day or leading up to the draft.
Understandably so. All right, again, I don't have the little sounder, but I ask you, what the hell is this? Here's a little clip that I found along the way here.
Yep, that'd be me.
That'd be me. Two and one.
My partner over here just
should be moment of the day, but this is too good not to isolate and play.
Oh my God.
And here's the full clip as you're talking about Sauce Gardner and Ice Spice.
What is a better feeling? Like spending, a physical night with Ice Spice or just nutting an 8-iron?
The goal horn was back.
Yes. That was good. I mean, man, he caught me so off guard with that. Jesus.
The second sound makes it.
It's like you go down and you go up. And then up.
Moochie that one.
I played you for that.
Very funny. So you did have that. All right, a couple of other things here. Knicks, Sixers last night. Good night for New York.
Council puts it up with the buzzer. Shot no good. Nope, not the buzzer. The shot clock buzzer. Hart has time and lays it up and in. They count it on the court. They're going to review it. He didn't have much time. Raced down the floor. And Hart with a bucket that I think will stand.
Yeah, that was Mike Breen on MSG.
That's Hart's hustle right there, man. That was a great play, and that was a great way to end that quarter.
105-91, New York wins. They go 21 games over 500. A big part of this game, Mitchell Robinson continues to play and get better. This is head coach Tom Thibodeau.
He's getting his timing back, and you can see it. And as time goes on, it just gets better and better. And he usually has a couple guys on him, and he still has the ability to get to the ball, which is a credit to him. And he's a big multiple effort guy.
And here was Robinson on MSG, just happy with how well he's playing.
I feel great. You know, all the hard work I put in to get back on the team and stuff like that. So I feel good to be back.
Yep, understandably so. And they'll need him tonight. Now, Carl Anthony Towns should be back tonight. Big game is they play in, at least a regular season game, they play in Cleveland at 60-15, the Cavaliers. Here's Donovan Mitchell, why it's been working so well this year.
This is a great group of guys. We have a lot of fun. And also understand that really allows you, when you have the expectation, when you have the quote-unquote high pressure situations, keeping the mood light allows you to be free and go out there and just have fun with the game that, you know, you truly love.
And they have been outstanding all season
long.
You know,
the Knicks and the Rangers are kind of like in the same situation where they may end up having to play somebody in the playoffs this year that they wiped out last year, whether it be the Capitals or whether it be the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah. Could be.
Weird
different
situation.
Teams, though.
Yeah, if the Rangers make it, Montreal and Columbus both won last night. So,
all true. The T-Wolves beat the Nuggets in double overtime, 140-139. Nikola Jokic in the loss, 61 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. Russell Westbrook missed the layup. We played that clip earlier and then committed the foul at the buzzer, which is why Minnesota got the free throws to win it. Jokic was asked afterwards about Westbrook, and he's not going to get on him, obviously.
What? I mean, it happened. It's basketball, you know. I'm pretty sure that he didn't want to make foul or whatever, so it happened, you know. He had the best thoughts. You know, it happens.
Oh, it happened, all right. And then goes to the free throw line, makes the free throws, and they wind up.
Can I go now?
Yeah, we wanted to go for sure. Speaking of going, we know that Kevin Willard has left Maryland to go to Villanova. He was on Fox Sports talking about the decision, and more so just heading to Philadelphia and back to the Big East.
One of those jobs that you really just can't pass up because it's one of the best basketball jobs in the country. And to be back in the Big East, to be part of this family, to be part of this culture, the Villanova family, it's just a great honor.
Now, one guy we know that's a big Maryland guy is Scott Van Pelt.
Yep.
And I guess he takes issue, and I think rightly so, with the way Willard was speaking about things before he actually left, now that he is gone.
Of course, Kevin Willard can go to Villanova. Of course, you can go back to your Big East roots. Of course, if it's better for your family. We're savages, but we're not soulless savages. If it's better for your family, of course. But maybe you don't take a giant on the front steps of the house you've lived in for the last 3 years.
Kind of understand exactly what he's saying.
Yeah, and the people that raised $50 million to build your practice facility.
Right.
And we're going to give you everything you wanted because you were out there publicly trying to leverage this whole thing. And I think, you know, the more we get away from this, the more the Maryland people feel like, you know, that he played them to get this job. And that's fine. Whatever. I'm happy for Buzz Williams. He left Texas Tech. So let's go. This is what happens. It's a domino effect, and now you got to hope that you got a coach that can get the program to the next level. But he's starting out basically with nothing, and he's starting late.
And Derek Queen, I don't think, has made a decision yet on what he is doing.
He's going to be a lottery pick.
You would think.
You would think, yeah.
Nothing official yet. Lightning beat the Islanders 4-1. You've got the Rangers facing the Wild coming up later tonight. All right, moment of the day. It certainly could have been the Sauce Gardner thing, but I thought it was more fun to do it that way. So instead, especially now the TV has some footage that we get to see. Ooh. We were talking about Al parking in New York at 4 a.m. and deciding to take action.
So I just thought, ooh, you know, I could use a body cam for when I get out of my car. So I turn it on when I get in New York City. And then once I get to get out of the car, I strap it to myself. And then that way, if anything happens to me, I'll have it on video.
Yeah. I mean, do you go home and you break down the video at all? Do you go over it and watch it like you're watching a football game or something?
Well, I haven't needed to yet. I've gone back and looked because I had one time a man in a fur coat on a bicycle drove past me, so I wanted to see that. Then I had one where a man in the street, maybe just last week, was screaming at me randomly for no reason. So then I'll go back and I'll look just to see that I have it positioned properly on me. And because at first I was strapping it on my head.
Yeah, I was going to say you strapped it on your
head. And that's too high. That is too high of an angle.
Yeah.
So the chest level.
Oh, there you go. Moment of the day.
Yeah, and for people that are just listening on the app or on the radio, that entire time we were watching the actual body cam footage from Al Dukes. And the best is when he like surveys left or right just for like no reason, not even when he's crossing the street. Just see what's going on over here. What's going on over here?
And that's not just head on a swivel. That's body on a swivel.
Yeah,
it's
whole
otherwise
body.
It wouldn't pivot like that.
You know, the day that would have been good to have the body cam is the day you had a race in here. During the pandemic,
oh,
before the craziness was going on.
Yeah.
That would have been some footage.
Well, of Eddie running?
Well, and the people that were not far behind him.
No, I wasn't running. I just kind of froze, just hoping everything would wash over, and it did.
I love George Floyd. Yeah, that was, my God.
Just so you know. Just so you know.
This is scary, man.
All right.
And that was also when the drugstore, right, got vandalized.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Around that time.
Right.
It was crazy.
I heard them in there.
Man. Looting. What would be the first thing you would grab in a drugstore if you looted it? I think I'd go right back to the prescription area and see.
Prescription drugs?
Yeah,
aren't those locked up, though?
I mean, if I'm looting the thing, what the hell?
That's a good point. I saw a video of two guys ripping off 80 grand of an ATM machine in less than 60 seconds.
Wow. Yeah,
they got it all figured out.
I go grab all the prednisone, I think. I love that prednisone.
Makes you urinate too much.
Not me. That's like a miracle drug for me. Like, I got some sort of a sinus infection or something. It put me on the prednisone, the gout, the prednisone. It makes me feel great. I wake up.
What's the one we liked from that documentary? Adderall.
Yeah. Maybe that. Yeah, you could try. Yeah, it wouldn't be a bad one to grab. Boomer? Let's say you're looting a drugstore. What's the first thing you go in there and grab? A couple birthday cards? expensive these days.
Yeah, you're right. You know, and think about it, maybe I'll get some Edge shave gel or something behind the lock.
Oh, behind the lock. Yeah, just rip that thing up. Yeah, get the allergy medicine.
Get the allergy medicine, all that stuff.
Yeah, what about you guys? You have any idea what you'd grab in there if you were stealing stuff from the drugstore?
I'd grab cigarettes. Those are very expensive. Mm. You can sell those on the outside.
Resell them outside.
Stand on the corner, cigarettes.
Yes, with your body cam.
The razor blades themselves are locked up. Also,
yeah.
Wow,
it's another one. That's what you would grab?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
So you? I mean, if you're not going back to the prescription drug, I'm not a drug user, so I'm not going back there.
Is grabbing that prednisone being like a druggie? I don't think so. Just like, you know, hey, got a little inflammation in my knee, a little prednisone, I'm feeling great.
Nice to have a lot on hand.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was going to say Vagisil.
Oh, jeez. I do not need Vagisil.
It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough Studio.
Vagina.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. You see everybody, and rightfully so, you know, talking about keeping hydrated and stuff and how you should be drinking more water, and I don't drink enough water. So I'm trying to do that, but then, you know, I fill up this Dunkin' Donuts cup like three or four times, and then I do it for a couple days, and I forget. So I'm telling Gina, I'm like, I gotta drink more water. She said, you know, you gotta get one of those, you know, big ass Stanley thing. I'm
God.
I can't do that.
No, you
can't. She's like, get a big water bottle, like, get a Stanley thing. I said, no. I hate those things. Like when we're driving together, she jams that thing in the cup holder and it doesn't fit.
Yes.
It's going back and forth. And then you just see every woman in the suburbs with one of those things super glued to their hand.
Yes.
I'm like, I can't be that guy. I mean, is there a male version of Stanley? Like if they're that,
I don't know. It just seems like, it really does seem like a woman thing, but I would just say that, yes, you need to drink more water.
Yeah.
And the Stanley thing, you could see it on Instagram all the time. I'll see guys waiting for their wives. And
yeah.
They're carrying all this crap into the car, and they got the Stanley cup, and they got the bags, and they got the sandwiches, and they got, you know, it's like nuts. And the guys sit there going, "What? Why does it take us so long to get into the car?"
Oh yeah, I mean, there's so many Instagram memes of that, and like the giant, you know, they use like the big Poland Spring bottles that you have like in your house, and they attach a handle to that and walk out with it. I mean, it is hilarious. But I mean, she's like, "No, I'm telling you, you'll see how much water you drink if you get one of these." big ass Stanley
thing. I will say that this whole cleanse thing that I do like every 6 months, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is a lot of drinking of water. There's a lot of water involved in it. There's a lot of coconut milk in it, or, you know, just your low fat milk, that kind of thing.
But yeah.
There's a lot of liquid in it. There's not much substance.
Yeah.
But it's good though.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. Hey, listen, if it's
I'm 3 days in, and I got more energy today than I've had in the last month. Nice.
I mean, yeah, I see a lot of that stuff, cleanse stuff. Colon Broom is something that's popping up on my Instagram all the time.
Stuff all over. And now that we're talking about it, you'll see even more of it.
Yeah. Oh, I know. You know what I want to actually try is Phil Mickelson's got this thing called Four Wellness, which is like coffee stuff and hydration. And like the reason why I want to get into his stuff is because he looks unbelievable.
And you just told me in the break that you think that he's got a really good shot at winning the
Masters. No, that's not what I said. No, I said I didn't. You weren't listening.
Okay.
Because I said I don't think he'll win. I said, but I think he's going to have a really good Masters, and I will bet on him to be top 20, and it's going to be a story, but I don't think he'll actually win.
How is he doing on the LIV Tour?
Really well. Better than he has been doing.
I have no idea how any of those guys are doing.
I'll tell you if you want to know. And if you're someone like me that, you know, wants to bet on the Masters, you got to figure that out. So like Joaquin Neiman is playing off the charts right now for them.
Okay, well, I haven't watched one swing of LIV golf.
Well, you don't have to like do your, you know, the research about it. I'm going to bet on it. I like doing it. I enjoy that. Like
I know you do.
I got to know that stuff. I'm going to sit there and watch the range goats play, but I'll just read, you know, who won the tournament, who's doing well, who played well here, took this one off, who's healthy, just stuff like that.
I couldn't even tell you where to find it.
I couldn't either. I've never watched it on TV.
All right.
I saw it in person that one time. We were out in Vegas, and that was a weird experience. But no, I just, you know, you got to read on, you know, some of the stats, you know, tee to green thing.
But I don't know. I don't even know the golf courses they're playing. I know Trump Bedminster when they come here, but that's it.
Yeah, but you still got to know. I've also watched a lot of Phil on YouTube and the way he's changed his game, and you know, he's driving it straighter than he ever has, and just he's in his 50s, but he looks damn good.
So you're thinking top 20 would be good for him, top 10 would be great for him.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Top 5 would be unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But I think he could. I wouldn't be shocked. Like if he ended up top 10, I would not be shocked. I really wouldn't. He looks great. He's playing great. He's adjusted his game to his age and how he hits the ball. He's one of the greats of all time. And he's getting feisty on X. You see him getting feisty?
Oh, yeah. Well, he's a feisty guy.
Getting feisty.
Yeah.
But yeah, his whole coffee and wellness thing, Four Wellness, looks like something that's actually I've been looking into. They got these hydration gummies that he has.
Yes.
He pops those.
Oh,
things.
Yeah. Okay.
You know,
Is he taking creatine too?
No.
Not taking the creatine gummies. That is the big rage.
Oh,
these
really?
Days. Oh, yeah.
I don't think he does. I don't think it's in there.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was a bad thing, creatine.
No.
It's a good thing.
No, it's a good thing. But, you know, you got to do it, you know, the right way, the right dosage and everything.
Right. Like you can't go to a GNC and get some boner pills and then think it's going to work for you, you know?
Well, you've lived that experience, so you know better than most. And I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when you're younger, you try anything. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You think about trying anything, at least. You know, it crossed my mind. I was like, you know, maybe take some steroids and play high school football. Like, didn't do it. I would have told you if I did.
It's like when you started golf, I said, look, this ain't going to be easy. It's going to take time. It's going to take patience. And it's going to take a diligence. And you've hit all of those marks. So that's why you're getting significantly better.
Right, and it's no performance enhancers.
Right.
Although they say.
You can't take, there's no shortcuts, man.
No way. Got to do it. You know, got to grind. And we've grinded all the way to 957.40, and we're going to send it over to BT and Sal right after this.